and children alike.
That's Sunday, June 22nd at Malcolm X Meridian Hill Park from noon until 8 p.m. Registration at eventbrite.com.
It's a Jazz and Justice Festival, the WPFW way.
WPFW.
Building a better world.
One broadcast at a time.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone. From the county farm, another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What? Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now, here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for our second hour of Crossroads. We come into you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl here on historic U Street, which used to be called Black Broadway in our day growing up. The Chili Bowl is one of these old businesses that's been in business over 60 years, run family-owned and operated. And I'm telling you, folks, they've been a part of this community for the past 60 years. We want to thank them for allowing us to bring our show. The young ladies or the young kids that you heard at the top of the show were some kids, some of our relatives. We did that commercial opening 5 years ago. And would you believe them young girls now are young ladies? They're going to school, one of them going to college. And people always ask me, why do we have that Richie Pryor monologue at the opening of our show? Crossroads is designed to address the issues of those impacted by the criminal justice system. And I was in Lawton serving life, and Richard Pryor came down to the prison. And it was one of the few prisons that we had stars come in. Frank Sinatra came down, Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, Dionne Warwick. And that prison, you could go to that prison and you see all the shows that you couldn't afford when you were in the street because you didn't have the money. So there's a lot of history connected to that facility. And this show is about addressing those issues that pertain, affect, and involve people who've been impacted by the criminal justice system. And for those folks who are not knowledgeable of this, 70% of all Black males in America have an arrest record, been stopped or locked up by the police. 70% of us have somebody in prison, a son, daughter, husband, a loved one incarcerated. And most of us get phone calls from prison and write letters. So prison is an integral part of the Black community culture. Whether we want to like it or not, that's what it is. And with the advent of the transferring folks out of this country to be deported, immigrants, etc., this is impacting us in ways that you won't even begin to see until later on. We've been cut our programs with Inner Voices and with New Beginners that Mertine and I have been operating for the past 15, 20 years has been cut out, terminated. So we've been thrown under the bus. Even though we work here at the station, we do this as on a volunteer basis. We do not get paid for bringing you Crossroads. We've been doing it for 17 years. And in that 17 years, we only missed 4 shows in 17 years. And we do this because we feel it. It's a need. And as our previous guest said, folks, we're talking about entrepreneurship, economics. We need money and funding to bring this back. We can stop all this killing. And they spend, $23 billion in New York City to house the immigrants, $15 billion in Washington, D.C. to house the migrants and give them all the support they need. Why can't that money be invested in the Black community to make it safer? Why is it every time something go down, we jump on our youth and say we need to lock them up, punish them, send them away? We need to put curfews on them. And yet we don't make no opportunities for these kids to get involved. Folks, it takes money to live. And you can't live without the money. And the crime rate, as we're seeing right now, has been going down in Washington, D.C. But, folks, I'm telling you, with all the layoffs and the fine and the terminations, the crime rate is going to skyrocket. And we got OGs, optimistic gentlemen and ladies who've done decades in prison who want to get involved. If those who were part of the problem a now can be a part of the solution. We need these folks. These are our relatives, whether you like them or respect them or what any of the issue. They are human beings. And we're talking about saving lives. And right now in Washington, it is a crisis upon a crisis upon a crisis. And it's devastating on top of another crisis. We need jobs, housing, employment. We need social services. You get men that did 50, 60 years come out of prison and don't even know how to cross the street. I've been out over 30 years, and people, every week I find something that is challenging, that's frustrating, and is intimidating. So if you've been locked up for 40, 50 years and you get released with $25, and you don't know where to go or who to turn to, and all your relatives or friends have died, what do you do when you don't have nothing to do or nowhere to go or no one to turn to? What do you do? Where do you go when it ain't no one there? And we're talking about men, that, like you said before, there's a new word to the English language. We call it prison side, that men and women are committing crimes to go back to prison because they can't adjust or deal with what's going on out here in the streets. So the word prison side, you can add that to suicide, homicide, fratricide. Now we got a new word called prison side. Our next guest is Dr. Ben Chavis. He called and said he's in traffic. He's running a little late. So we're just holding down the fort until our guests come in. So if you have a question or a call or comment or something you want to call and ask me, Nikisha Taif, our co-host, is not available this morning, nor is my wife. She's dealing with a family emergency down in Charles County, Maryland. And I mentioned this in the last hour, that we put some money on somebody's books. And ladies and gentlemen, please, somebody who can do anything, stop this foolishness. We put $10 on somebody's books. They make a phone call, and they charge us $4.90 tax. I asked the lady, what was the tax for? Is it state or federal? She said she don't know. He just said they don't charge a processing fee. So in order to leave somebody $10, I got to pay $5 to leave it. So we called back and added another $5, make it $15. They charge us $2.50 more in addition on top of the $5. Folks, this kind of ripoff, this prisons are the only places in America where you have to pay to get an email, to respond to an email, to get a letter from your loved ones. It's 49 cents to get a letter because it said drugs are enclosed in the envelope or the letter. So when you have to send it to the prison or to another location, they in turn digitize your letter and the photograph and give it to the inmate. And that's 49 cents per letter. If you wanted to have a visit, FaceTime, Zoom, that's $4.50, people for 15 minutes. Why is it that the people who have the least and the less have to pay the most? This is the only place in America where people have to pay for an email to send or receive an email is in prisons. So this is one of the reasons why we deal with this show, to expose the inequities, the injustices, and the unfairness in the whole criminal justice system, and particularly as it pertains to us. So our guest, Dr. Chavis, called and said he's running 15 minutes late, so we'll be running. We got a call on the line. We'll take our first caller. Question or comment, please, and your name?
Good morning, hello. Roach. This is Rick calling from Germany, brother.
Boy, I miss you, Rick. If I don't hear from you from Germany, you keep telling me, what part are you in? Stuttgart?
I ain't telling you no more, man.
Well, tell me, I'm old, and I ain't been taking my medicine. I've been taking Prevagen to help you improve your memory, and I forgot to take my medicine this morning, man.
Brother, man.
So come on with it, Rick.
I'm 15 minutes outside of Munich, Germany, and I'm taking more pills than you ever seen just to eat and digest food every day. But I wanted to call you and say that your first guess was dynamic. And I know that brother is risking his life there in Baltimore because there are some that just don't want to turn from the wicked way. And they would take offense at him pulling other youngsters away from the street life. So I know that brother is risking his life.
Life,
and
he sure is.
And I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for having him on.
So what are you doing? When are you coming back to the States, Rick?
I don't know, brother, but it'll be soon because I can't serve my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is getting up in age, and she needs serious care, and I can't provide it. And I'm down on two knees begging my wife for a divorce, but she just asked me to hold on. And
but how long you been? How long have you been over in Germany? You grew up in Berry Farm, Southeast DC. How long you been in Germany?
It's been about 13 years. 13,
wow.
13, 14 years, man.
Good question I wanted to ask you. How is it in the criminal justice system? Are they locking up all the black people as fast as they can, like they do over here in America? How blacks treated over there in the criminal justice system over in Germany?
Let me tell you something. Germany is the powerhouse economy in Europe. And they spend, the country as a nation spends a lot of money giving away money so that people don't have to steal. People don't have to commit crimes to get food, housing and toilet, transportation, and even education. So the majority of the population is taken care of. Now you got a few people who are radical whites, you know, who hate the government, involved in the Nazi past, or you got a few people on the Islamic side who are angry about the world situation with Islam and what's going on in Israel. But those are rare. Those are very rare situations. The majority of the population is taken care of here in Germany. And I've been taken care of by the government, even though the cops give me the business. I've been taken care of in terms of health insurance and being able to afford medication for my gut situation.
Is your medical treatment free, and you're not a citizen? How does that work in Germany? You're from America. You're an American citizen, and yet you get medical and benefits in Germany, and you're not a citizen. How does that work?
It's a blessing. That's all I can say, brother man. But, you know, my wife is spending a pretty penny as well. These phone calls cost a pretty penny. So I'm going to have to stop soon.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Rick. We appreciate you, man. And you're part of our Crossroads family. We'll always keep you in our hearts, man. And keep up the good work.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, sir. Yes.
You got to plan for the time when you're not able to do the show anymore. You've got to hand off to a successor who cares about inmate and ex-offender and returning citizens issues as much as you do. And Dr. Watkins, the same thing. He's got to prepare for when he is not going to be there to do the show. These issues will go on, and they will be the show is a necessary thing. I'm done,
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Rick. We appreciate it, because we bring you the show not because as ex-offenders or returning citizens. To me, they are human beings who've all made a mistake, and as we all have, nobody's perfect. If I grew up in a family of servicemen, most likely I would have wound up in the service, but I didn't. I grew up in a family, everybody was hustling, because we grew up in segregation. And if you didn't have it, you didn't get it. And if you didn't get it, you didn't eat it. So we had to scuffle, grind, and do whatever. But that's all a part of growing up and being a part of life. So for those folk who are just coming home, who need help, people, these are our sons, daughters, and our families and friends. And you never know. One day you might need help. You don't know where it's going to come from, who can give it to you. So Crossroads, we're trying to feed your brain with some information and knowledge that would help you navigate what's going on. Because the crime rate, as I see it, is going to increase. With all these hundreds of thousands of people laid off, jobless, cutting programs, talking about rolling back food stamps, Medicare, Medicaid, the SNAP program, where people get money for food, the Meals on Wheels program. All these programs are in serious, serious jeopardy. And it makes me wonder, my good friend Petey Green used to always be concerned about seniors. And now that I'm a senior, we're concerned. Our seniors, people, are catching holy hell. They got a fill on the fixed income, and with the prices of food going up, gas, utilities, etc., and they got a choice about paying their rent, buying food, or paying the medication. And the medication, lady get $800, and the medication costs $12, and she got to pay her rent and food. Folk, our seniors are catching hell. Please, if you know of some seniors, if you know some programs that help them, please just reach out there, because nobody should die with all this much stress. They are in the twilight of their life, and you should die with some dignity and some kind of pride in you. And every week we get phone calls from somebody that's saying, so-and-so passed away. I've never seen people pass away this fast before. I've never been this old before. But I can tell you this, we all got to go. And please, let's reach out to help those, because we can solve this problem. We ain't got to keep reaching out to somebody else. If we all come together, the guy said something on the last program about bringing people together. I like to see all the grandmothers get together and the mothers. The mothers and the grandmothers can stop some of this, because they can reach some of these kids. The OGs, optimistic gentlemen and ladies, these are seniors. We got people. We got the horses, but we don't have the resources. We got people all over the country that we've been in touch with. In virtually any city you can call or claim, that we know of nonprofit groups working to turn this thing around. And it's all about economics, people. If we, everybody, if we have a fair shake of getting a job, because who in the hell want a job? I know when I came out one time, they gave me a job at the circus in Union Arena on 3rd and M Street, Northeast in Washington, D.C. And they gave me some big boots, a rubber apron, and I had to walk behind this elephant with a big, huge scoop. And we had to pick up the poop. And the elephant I was behind had diarrhea. Folk, I quit right then and there on the spot. Then he gave me a job in Chinatown. I go in and work in the shop. And it was 30 Chinamans. And I was the only black guy in the whole room for the Chinamans. And we were paying electric can openers, toasters, and irons. I couldn't put up with that. And when I got paid, my take-home pay wouldn't take me home. So you work all week and get a check, and you ain't got enough money to pay the bills and that kind of stuff. Folk, we need to come together to help each other to stop this, because we ain't got to be going through all this. All these guys who died before us, Martin, Malcolm, Bynard Rushton, Coretta Scott King, all these people have been talking about, let's come together. John Lewis, let's do good trouble. We need some good trouble, folks, and the good trouble come from guys like us or people listening to us, like our man Rick over in Germany. He left D.C. over 13 years ago, and he calls in every week to give us an update on what's going on in Germany. We got people all around the world going through what we're going through. I like to take my hat off to Shaquille O'Neal, Big Shaq, the Shaq attack. Shaq got a heart big as gold. He's doing everything he can to help in his way. We got enough black millionaires and multimillionaires and billionaires. We, back in my day, we had a city called Soul City, started by Floyd McKissick down in North Carolina. And he was trying to build a city called Soul City. And would you believe it opened up for a little while, and due to the lack of funding, it went out of business. But the property that was called Soul City is now a prison. They done took Soul City as a prison. So we need a city. And for Shaq and them guys, I take my hat off to you, big fella. You're doing a hell of a job. I don't know, not, even if you ain't, your heart's in the right place. Everywhere he goes, he share his blessings with folks less fortunate than him. And people, you got some folks who are in a position they can help. Please, please help. We went to the Cuban embassy over the weekend, my wife and I. We were invited for a special program for Malcolm X at the Cuban embassy, and it was off the chain. The week before that, we was in New York City at Bard College for a commencement exercises for those folk who graduated. It was 700 kids graduated, and it was motivational. It was inspiring. It was moving, and I enjoyed just seeing these folks walk across that stage smiling with their degrees. And they had a program called the Prison Initiative, where kids go to college there to study prison issues and work in corrections, law enforcement, to make things better for those less fortunate. So Martine and I have been very blessed to be able to be invited at all these different events and activities to share our insight and see what we could do to help. And while we're talking, I'm waiting on our guest, Dr. Benjamin Chavis. And I'm going to tell you something. I met this guy over 51 years ago when I was working at Channel 5 as a TV producer at Metro Media with my good buddy, Larry Bryan, who's no longer with us. And I was the producer of Black News. While on furlough, coming out of Lawton, they let me out on 8 hours a day. I went to the TV station and knocked on the door and said, can I get a job? And they started laughing at me and said, no, we can't hire you, Roach, because you're in prison serving life. You're out on the pass. And I said, don't say you can't. Say you won't. They took a chance on me. And 90 days later, I was hired as associate producer. 1 year later, I was producer of Black News on Metro Media, Fox TV. We were nominated for 5 Emmys. And out of that 5, we wrote, produced, or directed 3 of the 5 shows that was nominated for Emmys. We didn't win, but we were nominated. And I was in Lawton on furlough, coming out every day and going back to prison at night and working at the TV station. And that's where I met Martine. And I met her in 1973. And would you believe we've been together for the last 49 years off and on. Even when I went back in and she was involved with somebody else, it didn't make no difference. We were destined to be together. Some people you can hook up with, you know that's your better half. And for 49 years, we've been in each other's life off and on. And I'm telling you, I've never met a better human being. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Martine. Her gentleness. I've never met a human being who don't smoke, drink, curse. She don't get angry. And would you believe we never had an argument? And the reason why we never had an argument, because I'm always right. I'm just kidding, folks. So I'm just sharing some stuff with you. So if you want to call in with a question or comment while we're waiting for distinguished guest Dr. Benjamin Chavis, traffic is a mess in this city and all over the country. So as soon as he get in, so I'm just holding down the fort till he arrives. So if you want to call in, 202-588-0893, I'll be glad to entertain whatever question or comments you have until our guests arrive. Because I've been waiting on this gentleman here. I've been knowing him over 51 years. And I'm telling you, this man been a part of some valuable, iconic, historic, earth-shattering movements and programs in the last 50 years. And his resume, he worked with the Million Man, he coordinated the Million Man March with Louis Farrakhan. He worked with Russell Simmons with the Hip Hop Network. He's with the Wilmington 10 down there in the 60s when these 10 kids went down into the Woolworth lunch counter, and they wouldn't let Black people sit at lunch counters to eat. And they locked all these guys up. And what some folks don't know, not even aware of, that Dr. Benjamin Chavis did 6 years in prison before he got out. They got a pardon by the governor years later. Amnesty International, everybody was protesting how they locked up these 10 kids in Wilmington, North Carolina, put them in prison and charged them with arson to set the place on fire and gave them 29 or 36 years. And Dr. Chavis did 6, but he came out, and this man hadn't stopped. He'd been working with Dinkins. So I met him back then, and we worked on the Million Man March. I went to New York and met with him with Russell Simmons when he had the Rush card. So this guy and I, our paths have been crossing each other in the last 50 years. So it's an honor to have him here, and I just can't wait till he get here. So in the meantime, we're just holding down the fort. Also, my wife is not with me this morning. It's one of the few times that Martine is not with us. She's dealing with one of our family emergencies, and Nikichi, our co-host, is also not here. So this is one of the few times that I'm coming to you alone by myself. And I appreciate everybody that's listening and tuning into what we're talking about. So these returning citizens, the OGLs, optimistic gentlemen and ladies, people, they need your help. We need funds. We need resources to help stop this foolishness and save lives. If they can send $25 billion, spend $25 billion in New York City to house migrants and $15 to $20 billion in Washington, D.C. to house migrants and immigrants, why can't we spend $15 to $20, $30 billion to stop the crime and the stuff in America? Ukraine got close to $75 billion. Everybody get billions. Our co-host, Nikisha, been pushing reparations. Everybody else got reparations. The Japanese, when they got locked up during World War II, and they put them in internment camps, they came out and all of them got $20,000 to $25,000 apiece. How come we don't get that? We'll take our first caller. Come on, Mike. Question or comment, please, and your name.
Yes. Good morning, Rose Brown. This is Sister Mr. Mason calling in, checking in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm calling because I need, and hello, Martine, and what's her name?
Nikichi.
I'm calling in. Let me see, Nikichi. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rose. I'm calling in because I live here in Southeast Washington, D.C., in the Geraldine Apartments. Are you familiar with the Geraldine Apartments?
I heard of them.
Okay.
I heard of them.
And they're about to sell these four buildings. Now, I'm originally from Alexandria, Virginia, right? And I moved here. I was homeless when I came over here. And the D.C. Department of Human Services placed me over here in the Geraldine Apartments at 4309 Wheeler Road, Southeast.
Yes,
apartment unit number 102, Washington, D.C., 20032. I'm legally blind. I'm 62 years of age. And I was born and raised in Alexandria. But they're going to sell the buildings. Now, when I first moved here in October the 25th of 2010, it was African-American owned, black owned, D.C. Shout out to Mr. Thomas Bateman and Mr. Calvin. And the property was kept up, all four of the buildings. We had clean grounds. There's no laundry facilities here where you can do your, you know, wash and dry. But everything, you know, there was less crime. They had people cleaning. Okay, I've been trying to get out of these apartments and to be honest with you, go where God wants me to go for the last 12 years. The D.C. Department of Human Services put me here under the Permanent Supportive Housing Program. I'm used to picking my own places. And I don't have a problem with living in Southeast because God loves the people in East of the River in Ward 7 and 8 too. But since I've been living here, I noticed that we're very underserved. And going back to my housing situation. Okay, so now, fast forward. The last two management companies and owners, they are not from this United States. They own it. The property went down. It's gone down, down. So now the four buildings are in foreclosure. They're in foreclosure. And they know I'm the only one that lives in this building legally. Okay. Now, I'm all for affordable housing here in D.C. and in Alexandria. Like I said, they're underserved. But you can't have me in here with all of this mold, peeling paint. I was told I shouldn't even be living in this apartment.
Let me ask you this. Do you live in Ward 8?
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Have,
yes.
have you contacted your council member, the city council member's office?
Yes. That's what Pastor Charlene Marshall, I don't know if you're aware of. She's from Waller Place Southeast.
Yes, I'm here. I know. Yes.
Testimony. Okay, this is what I need, Pastor. I mean, I'm calling you, Pastor.
Well, I've been called a lot of things, but not a pastor.
No, but God is using you and your wife to do a great work. I give the shout outs, and you know, you give your testimony.
But what can we do? How can we help you?
What I need from you is I need an attorney, a landlord, a tenant attorney, because this slum lord. And remember, the four buildings are now under in bankruptcy court at the United States Department of Bankruptcy over here at the Pretty Man Bankruptcy Court.
Let me say this. We got two, three more calls. Wait, let me say this. Leave your name and number with the engineer, and we'll see if we can hook you up with an attorney that deal with landlord and tenant issues.
Yes, because they know I need to. It's unsafe for me to live here, according to the doctors, and they know this. And I want to go to the judge, so put me in the prayer, put up some prayers for me, and let them know they're not trying to accommodate me or move me being legally blind and disabled.
Leave your name and number with the engineer, and when we get off the air, we'll try to hook you up with an attorney that works on landlord and tenant issues. Okay.
Thank you, because I have been looking.
Thank you. Thank you. Our next caller, please. Next caller.
Is that me?
Yes, ma'am. Come on here. It's you.
Oh, hello, Mr. Brown. It's me, Vivian.
Who is this?
Vivian Mercer.
Well, how you doing, Vivian Mercy, and Merry Christmas to you.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, too. The reason I'm calling is because I wanted to give information about the resources.
Well, what resources? Hello? Hello, what resources are you referring to?
Oh, I have resources like Martha's Table, which gives out food and clothing. I can give you the address. One of the addresses is in Ward 8, which is at 23.
Can you speak a little loud? Speak up a little bit, please.
Okay. The address for Martha's Table in Ward 8 is 2375 Elvis Road Southeast, Washington, D.C., 220.
And they can help our previous caller, the young lady calling was blind. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, it's just for people who need food and clothing and things like that. It's just for information purposes.
Okay. All righty. Okay. Go ahead.
And they also give away clothes. With the card, after you sign in, they give you $40 a month, and you can go in and shop at the clothing outlet. Then
okay.
I also have Fresh Connect. Let's see. Fresh Connect helps healthcare organizations cover the cost of healthy food for patients and measure impact. Can use the prepaid card to shop for fresh fruits and vegetables at participating stores and markets.
Can you speak up? You're dropping out.
I'm sorry. I'm talking on another phone because I have you on another phone. So I was just talking about Fresh Connect.
Okay.
It is a card that is given to you for...
Turn your phone off. Turn the noise. You got a lot of feedback in your room there, Viv. We can't be having trouble hearing you. Can you turn everything else down? Turn your speakerphone off.
Okay.
Hello?
Hold on. Okay, is that better?
Yes, come on.
Okay. So I was talking about Fresh Connect. Wait.
Hey, let's go to the. You got too much noise in the background. We get rid of the noise, and we'll come back to you. Yes. Turn your Zoom off, Miss Mercer, please. There's too much interference. Next caller, please. Hello. Next caller. Question or comment? Hello. Do we have? Go to the next caller then. Are you there? Hello.
Yes, sir. Thank you for talking to me. I spoke with you earlier when you had Dr. Ted Sutton on the line. This is Julian in Arizona. I'm in Flagstaff, Arizona. And
yeah,
I wanted
Julian
to
Harris
to you
is your name, right?
Yes, sir. Julian Harris. I'm the founder of the Black Worker-Owned Cooperative Coalition. We try and reach out to Black communities around the country to inform them of an opportunity that they have in their own communities to create worker-owned cooperatives. I always hear folks talking about entrepreneurship. Well, that basically means taking one man or one woman, throwing them into the commerce environment and turning and walking away and saying they'll be fine. In fact, most new businesses close within 1 year of operation that conducted business. Happen with all of the different. And instead of summertime right now, you can't tell me that all around the people getting their first rap sheet, services expansion is destroying those programs. So instead of bringing wage, $7.25 an hour, whatever it is, going to make you a co-owner in the decisions that need to be made in the company, who are the owners, vote on those decisions. You send that aside. And that's how one mom and one trying to create a business for themselves and then just doing it enough to where as soon as the powers that be see that they're actually having some traction, then they sell out. Instead of doing business in that manner, why not do business in a worker-owned cooperative format where you bring in the entire community and the people who do the work, run the business, and move forward?
And you're the founder of the Black Workers Coalition?
Yes, sir. Worker-owned cooperative. All that it simply does is it takes the business model from being one business owner, and it makes the people who do the business, who make the business run, the salespeople, the folks who are in shipping and production, the people who do that, they all own. If you look at it, there's a company that you can see that does this, that just to have an example, the Detroit Food Cooperative. It's a grocery store that is owned by the people who run the grocery store. And using that same format, you can take that exact same format and run it in any business format that you have. And
you have an operation of where you're at right now? You have an operation in Oklahoma?
In Arizona, we surely do.
Arizona.
Yep, you can find us. You can find us on social media. That's where our website is. And we first started out with folks who are recreational vehicle owners. And these are folks who they're retired, such as myself. I'm sure you're retired as well. And they have recreational vehicles and they go around the country traveling around. But a lot of the times these folks are having to just go from RV location to RV location and they're paying exorbitant fees just to be able to travel. So what we started doing was we started purchasing land so that these folks could have a place that they could go and not have to pay rental fees. And we've done that. And so that's the concept that we're telling people, is that whatever, if you want to make real change, not just saying, hey, go into business for yourself. These young people barely know how to shave and bathe themselves, let alone just to jump out into the world and start a business where they had to take out 5 or 6 loans to get started. And within the first year of business, in case they don't get the exposure they need, they go out of business.
Okay.
Why don't we have these folks who are starting to go out of business, bring in the community to assist them, and start worker-owned cooperatives? And all we're trying to do is get the word out there so folks will start that thought process.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. That's a good suggestion. And next caller, thank you. Come on. Next caller, please.
Hello, Mr. Brown.
Hello.
How you doing? Hello, Mr.
Who is
Brown.
This?
How you doing? My name is William Cuff. You remember me?
Your name is what?
William Cuff. You remember me?
Yeah, sure. I remember you, Cuff. Yeah.
Well, guess what? My son is home, and we need some help. Why? Because the state of Virginia conspired with the city of Alexandria to get him murdered in prison, and we got proof because they falsified his conviction report, said that he had, him and his co-defendant, sodomized a 13-year-old, and there was no minors involved in this case. So they tried to get him, as far as I'm concerned, they tried to get him killed in prison because pedophiles don't come out.
Let me do this. I remember the case. A guest just arrived. Do me a favor. Give the engineer your name and number. We can call and we'll talk later, Cuff, and see what we can do to help out, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Do I stay on the line? Put it in?
No, just give the engineer your phone number and name, and I'll call you later and we'll talk from there. Okay. All righty. We've been waiting on our distinguished guest, Dr. Benjamin F. Chavis, president and CEO of the National Newspaper Publishers Association. As I was saying before you came in, Dr. Chavis, that you and I met over 50 years ago.
Yes, sir.
I was working at Channel 5, and you was with the Wilmington 10, and they locked 10. Up all of y'all down there in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
And for the last 50 years, man, you have done something that very few people have done. You've been involved in the civil rights movement. You went to prison. You came out. Got you the doctorate degree. You work with the Hip Hop Network with Russell Simmons. I flew up to New York. We met up there about the Rush Card.
I remember, yes.
We worked on the Million Man March. The national coordinator for the Million Man March with Minister Louis Farrakhan. Man, when you look at your resume and the things that you've done, and the participation input you put in on making things better for our people, I take my hat off to you, Ben. This is the first time I've ever said this to you.
But thank you, man.
Over 51 years, man.
Yes, sir.
You've been consistent. And welcome.
Know,
go ahead.
In Angola, they said a lucha continua. That means the struggle continues. So we don't want to go back and necessarily repeat the past, but learn from the past. And even during the time I was unjustly imprisoned, Roach, I refused to serve time.
Yeah.
I made time serve the movement.
How much time did you do, Doc?
Almost 8 years.
Almost 8 years.
Yeah. And most of it was in maximum security.
Yeah.
Some was in solitary confinement. But in my last 2 years, I put such pressure on the prison system. I actually got my master's degree, magna cum laude, from Duke University while I'm in prison.
So you had a degree from Duke University?
Master's
while you was in prison?
While I was in prison. They would take me in chains to Duke Chapel, let me go to class. 5 o'clock, come pick me up. Take me back to the prison.
Yeah. But how long did that last?
2 years.
2 years. Mm-hmm. Wow. And that was in the 70s?
That was in the 70s. All this was in the 70s. We were arrested in 1972. The incident happened in 71. See, when Dr. King was killed in 68, I was actually working for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And so 3 years later, we were trying to keep the movement alive.
Yeah.
And as you recall, even here in D.C., 68 was a hell of a year.
It was.
You know, and people were trying to find their compass, trying to find their anchor. And not only was Black Power, you know, my thing is
freedom.
I tried to join every Black organization possible. So to me, where was SCLC, NAACP, CORE, Conservation Quad, SNCC. If it was about Black folks,
I mean, back then, y'all remember all them CORE, SNCC.
Oh yeah.
The question.
Now, I used to drive Stoker car. I was Stoker's chauffeur.
Yeah. Well, Stoker and I got to be real good friends, man. He and I went rapping. He came in. In fact, Stoker used to come in here to Ben's Chili Bowl.
Yeah.
In fact, all the folks back during the day during the Civil Rights Movement would come through here. And when I was out. When I ran, met you, I was on furlough from prison, working at the television station. You remember that? I remember. And I went back to prison every night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we had a similar kind of experience.
Exactly.
But a question I want to ask, you was a national representative for the Million Man March.
Yes.
And man,
1995.
Yeah, 95. And I was coordinating down here in Washington, D.C. with the returning citizens. And man, when I walked down there and I saw a million black men.
That's right.
People, I just
standing
cried.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder. I mean, I looked up in the tree and I saw a guy. I said, man, that's Pork Chop. And somebody said, my guy said, my name's not Pork Chop. You saw black guys that look like other black people.
Yeah,
and
right.
When you saw that, you felt an affinity or closely with them.
Exactly.
And during that whole Million Man March, did nobody get arrested? There was no fights, no gunshots, no drama, no robberies, no nothing.
And the city had to pay us back because they had charged us $20,000 for cleanup. They
after
gave
the
it
million.
All back because when the brothers left, the lawn was clean.
Clean. Everybody took the trash with
them. That's right.
You know,
it was not only the largest event that black people have had, it was the most disciplined.
Yes.
It was the most spiritual. It was the most solidarity. I mean,
Dr. Chivin.
Hello?
Go ahead.
I met some brothers who met their fathers. Met their fathers at the Million Man March.
Yeah.
I mean, it was miraculous.
Yes. Yeah. It was an earth-moving experience, man.
And you may recall, in the wake of the Million Man March, black-on-black crime went down.
Yeah.
Brothers, I mean, even here in D.C., brothers are opening doors to sisters and that. You know, and of course, there were some black women that came to see all those black men.
Yo, you know, and it was all races of women coming down.
Oh,
they went
no
and
question.
Had on them short skirts.
We
need something like this. When I saw the Million Man March, man, I participated. It made me cry when to see that many of us come together, over a million, and they from all over the country.
And they came from all over the country.
Yeah.
Even from Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, all 50 states showed up, man.
Do you think we need something like that now, or can something like that now be the turning point in what we're going to
be going? I think we need something like that. The question is, can it be pulled off? Keep in mind, when we did it in 95, after the Million Man March, they changed the rules, the park service.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it much more difficult now to get out there on the mall. Because at the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, we had to get a resolution, a joint resolution of Congress, in addition to getting the permit from the Park Service. So every time there's a gathering, they make it more and more difficult.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why, I'll be very honest, they gave us the permit in 95 because they didn't think we were going to do it.
Yeah.
They said, oh, yeah, you can have the permit. Y'all ain't going to get no million. And when the brothers started showing up, they got nervous.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great accomplishment.
Yeah.
And I do believe that
go ahead.
I do believe that we need to remind particularly our young brothers and sisters of what happened that day. And we can do anything, Roach, that we put our minds to it. You know, I'm concerned about, this is 2025, and things seem to be drifting backwards.
Yes.
So we do need something to
stimulate it, revitalize
it. That's right, revitalize. Right.
You know, being we're close in the same age. I grew up and it was segregated. You grew up and it was segregated.
The same case.
And it seems like we're going right back to that time. I'm feeling the same vibe, the same attitude is coming down, that we are being, our history is being erased, being eliminated, taken from us. The things that we work for to improve our situation as a group of people are being executive ordered out. He's slashing executive orders and we're being thrown in the street. I just told the people on my other show that we just got a call. We had to fire everybody in one day. I had to lay off all my people.
Wow.
You know, we didn't have a week or 30 days or nothing. And the order came down that for folks who are running nonprofits, especially with reentry or justice impact individuals, your programs are cut. So we're throwing more and more people back into the streets, man. And I was telling guys, get a job, there's a saying. Huh?
They're building prisons.
Yeah.
You know, they're building prisons not just for immigrants.
Yeah.
They're building prisons for brothers and sisters who were born here in the country.
Yes.
It's a kind of ethnic cleansing, racial cleansing.
Ethnic cleansing.
Yeah.
You know, Ben, it's scary in the sense that I read there's 125 prisons being planned in America, and the two largest private prison companies, GEO and the other one, are in the forefront. Their stock is going through the roof. And Trump got elected, these two companies, the two big, largest private prison companies, they are bidding to build these other prisons. In fact, they're building prisons in Gambia, in African countries that Trump is taking and deporting folk. American prisoners, not migrants or immigrants.
I know.
American prisoners are sending you to Zambia or Botswana somewhere to do your time. Man, this is unreal.
Yeah, it is.
What the hell's going on?
But yet he would invite white South African farmers
60.
And give them carte blanche.
Yeah.
Immediate citizenship.
Citizenship, medical benefits, stipends, food cards, education free.
Right, right.
And we in this country for hundreds of years can't get a damn dime, man.
But, you know, Roach, I think that the far right is going to go so far.
Yeah.
It's going to backfire on them. They start cutting Medicare and Medicaid. There are more white people on Medicaid than black people.
Mm.
So in all these red states that voted for Trump, now he's getting ready to put a hurt on them. So in 2026, when they had the midterm elections, I think it's going to be a big change.
Let me ask you this. You got your degree from Duke, and you've been real active in education. What's your take on all this repression that's going against the colleges across the country?
What do you see? I think it's the attack on the colleges and universities, the attack on freedom of speech, the attack on freedom of the press. These are attacks on democracy. And just yesterday, some of Trump's advisors said, look, American democracy is not working. We want to go back to a monarchy.
Yeah.
You know, they want to make Trump king. Now, that sounds very far-fetched, but they're going to have a military parade here in D.C. It's going to almost $20 million worth of damage to the streets. They just don't care.
Yeah.
You know, but again, you know, it's unfortunate, Max. Sometimes things have to get tough to reawaken us.
Yeah.
It's a shame we have to, you know.
You're right. It got to get worse before it gets better,
that's
man.
Right.
And we got to go
right.
through this. And we've been,
right.
we grew up with this kind of attitude.
Exactly.
We know how rough it can be.
Exactly.
Man.
And I think in hindsight, each generation should be more conscious than the prior generation.
Yeah.
But we have a situation now where each generation is less conscious. That's a serious problem.
Yes, it is.
That's why programs like what you do on this podcast is very important, man.
You know,
we need information. How long have you been doing this program?
I've been doing this program for 17 years. And we only missed 4 days in 17 years, my wife and I. Right. And we don't get paid. It's strictly volunteer, man. And, it's, and the show is called Crossroads. We deal with criminal justice issues and those people impacted by the criminal justice system. And I'm glad that you came in. We don't have much time left, but I want to get you back so we can have a whole hour.
I'd love to come back. You know,
I'm glad you was able to make it.
I heard that they were shutting down Lawton, and that means they're going to distribute these prisoners all over the country, further away, can't be get the family.
Yeah.
It was something, man. We used to have a program at Lawton when I was with the United Church of Christ Administration.
I remember the United Church of Christ. Yeah. That's right.
You remember Coco?
Yeah. Coco Farrell.
Yeah. We used to bring some brothers out of Lawton.
Yeah.
They were trained. They had to go back, but you know. And then we had a halfway house in the United Church of Christ Administration Justice office. And one day, some Secret Service agents came and says, well, we want to see all your files. I said, no, I'm not showing you our files. You got a warrant?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get a, I said, yeah, you have to get a warrant. You're not, we're not giving you no information.
Yeah.
Because when we turn these, let me put it this way, there are forces that don't want the seed to return these return.
Yes.
And the ones who do return, they're plotting so they'll go back.
Yeah.
They feed the recidivism.
I call it prison side.
Oh, no question.
Prison side. Yeah, like guys commit suicide going back to prison.
That's
man.
Right. And then in New York, the failure of the third grade reading test, they used that statistic to build juvenile prisons in New York.
Yeah.
Because they know if you're not reading at grade level in the third, you may not make it through high school.
Yeah.
So you know, so this is a systematic.
You know, I was surprised when I read the other day that at the graduation at Howard, I think it was 3,500 kids graduated from Howard. 20% is male, black male. So 80% of the students at Howard University are female.
That's right.
So 20% of black males only graduated from this HBCU.
That's right. That's right.
And this is happening all over the country.
It's happening all over the country.
And they're taking the Pell Grants back out of institutions. It's scary, man. I don't know what's going on because we know education is the key, man. I got guys that I've known that come to prison who couldn't read or write. Now they run businesses and operations. Coming. You can't drive a car if you can't read. And
well, true story. When I was in prison in North Carolina, I met some brothers that were so smart. They were playing chess blindfolded.
Say that again. They were playing chess blindfolded.
Blindfolded. Yes. They knew the board. And so it takes, I mean, most people can't play chess
without looking at the board.
But they were blind. But the point is, there's some geniuses behind bars.
Our time is about up. Wait 1 minute. I'm sorry. We got our time is about to expire.
I'll come back. I guess you got some people waiting, trying to call in.
Yes. Yeah. I'll call and we'll set up another time. Need a whole hour, Ben.
Okay.
Because we've been knowing each other for 51 years, man. And you've been involved in the civil rights movement, the prison rights movement, the religious movement, the Nation of Islam, the Million Man March, the Wilmington 10. You've been a part of historical events and activities, and you've always been on the point, man.
Well,
and I respect the hell out of you for that, Ben.
Well, thank you, man.
You know what I mean?
God is blessed. My thing is, at our age,
I'm younger than
share
you,
man. The wisdom.
Yeah.
I still spend time with these hip hop guys because I don't want
you have your own
to,
podcast, don't you?
Hmm?
You have your own podcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. On PBS.
Al Thomas, you want to give anybody a name or a number how to reach you? And
yeah. You can just Google me, but you can go to thechaverschronicles.com. Thechaverschronicles.com. It's on PBS.
Yeah.
Public Broadcast. Although, you heard Trump, he's trying to wipe out PBS
and Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Right, yes.
You know, anything that will educate the masses, they're going after.
Our time is up. Our guest has been Dr. Ben Chavis. He got here late. He was tied up in traffic. We're going to invite him back so we can do a whole hour because me and this man go back over 51 years and he's been involved in some key, historic, monumental. Okay. So I'm going to say thank you for joining and listening to Crossroads. This is Roach Brown. We're coming to you live from Ben's Chili Bowl. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Right.
Thank you, Dr. Chavis.
Thank you.
Caribbean American Heritage Month. Thus, CAWI, CPN, ICS, AFI, and Africa World Art Project present the 23rd DC Caribbean Film Fest, June 6th to June 12th, at AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring. The festival showcases the best in Caribbean cinema with films such as the U.S. premiere of Fanon and more. The DC Caribbean Film Fest, June 6th to June 12th. Information at afi.com/silver or 301-495-6700. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say bless. Yeah!
Yeah! Thank you, family. We're so grateful for each and every one of you who made a pledge during our spring membership drive. Though we didn't quite reach the finish line, your love carried us far. Your pledges, your presence, your belief in WPFW. They remind us that this station is more than radio. It's a rhythm, a refuge, a revolution. We trust you'll keep walking with us, dancing with us, building with us. Because this community-powered radio station rises with you and only with you. Thank you for keeping the beat alive.
Hi, I'm Robin Holden.
Hi, I'm Miyuki Williams.
WPFW and Parks and People invite you to the Jazz and Justice Festival, Sunday, June 22nd, from 12 noon until 8 p.m. at Malcolm X Park.
It's a family-friendly celebration of culture, community, and resistance during the week of Juneteenth and the summer solstice.
Experience the power of WPFW's on-air voices brought to life with featured speakers Anthony Browder and Reverend Lennox Yearwood.
Live performances by Saiz Kamaluddin, Kaba, and Proverbs, plus DJ Lance Reynolds and Underdog, keeping the vibe alive.
Connect in the community led by Milani Douglas. Explore art curated by Adrian Ferguson and enjoy intergenerational fun with activities for elders and children alike.
That's Sunday, June 22nd at Malcolm X Meridian Hill Park from noon until 8 p.m. Registration at eventbrite.com.
It's a Jazz and Justice Festival, the WPFW way.
WPFW.
Building a better world.
One broadcast at a time.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. For nearly five decades, support from listeners like you has kept WPFW's wheels rolling. In fact, the single largest category of donations comes from those who donate an unused car to the station. That's right, running or not. Even a car sitting idle that needs thousands of dollars in repairs can do wonders for WPFW. If you can't drive it, donate it. WPFW will get the proceeds, and you'll get a tax break. Go to WPFW